Afternoon, turn to the book of Exodus, chapter number 33. The book of Exodus, chapter number 33. The Bible says in Exodus, chapter number 33, verse number 16, "For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth." Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for all the good time we've had together in your house today. And we're thankful, Father, for this opportunity to once more look at your word. God, what a blessing it is to be together with your people in this place, Father, to have your Spirit to be among us and to rest upon us and to indwell us. And Father, now we ask you that you just be with the preaching of your word this afternoon, Lord, as once again we feast on your presence. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, here... What has happened is that God has become upset with the people because they made the calf. And so, you know, he tells them to pull off their ornaments from them so he can know what to do with them. And a lot of times, you know, we like to feel like we're pretty special or like we're, you know, all right or pretty good or something. You know, and it does some good. It does us some good to put off our ornaments from it. It does us some good to see ourselves as we really are. To see ourselves honestly and truthfully. You know, my wife and I were talking the other day, and I was talking about how, you know, sometimes a woman's face is very arresting because she puts makeup on and you look at her and all you see are these big lips. Because they got this lipstick on that's just absolutely not a color in the human spectrum. And it makes their lips look huge. And then, you know, you look at their face and it's like it's like this film is all over the face. I'm not that I don't think women should be allowed to put makeup on. I don't have any problem with that. My problem is when they try to make a whole different face out of what they got. You know, one of the first things that every Christian ought to learn is that God made you the way you are. He didn't make any mistakes. And He loves you. And that how you look, now there are some things, you know, I mean, if a person's got a tooth growing out of the side of their head, that can be surgically fixed, and if they're able to, they ought to be able to do that. You know what I mean? That's not a problem. If it's something that's going to distract people, you know, from being able to listen to the gospel from you, and it's something that you can fix, that's fine. But some people go around having all kinds of crazy surgeries and things because they're not happy with the shape of their nose or the height of their eyebrows. That's nonsense. All right? But, you know, we got talking about that, and, you know, about the fact that we don't like to see ourselves the way we really are. And that's why God told them, put off your ornaments from you. Put them off. He wanted them to feel the shame of their sin. He wanted them, you know, God wants us to feel the shame of our sin. He wants us to understand that what we have done is shameful. Remember when the children of Israel forgot to blush, and they forgot how to be ashamed. That's when the judgment came. That's why we need to never allow ourselves not to feel the shame of our sin. We must feel it. We must see it. We must understand it before we can repent. And so he had them separated out here. And Moses built it. He says in verse 7, he took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out under the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. Now, understand this. He did this for a purpose. What does the Bible say? It says, come out from among them and be a separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? And that's why He did that. Because folks, we as children of God, we need to come out. We need to be separate. And what Moses was saying here, when he gets down there and he says, for wherein shall it be known that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? He said, how are people going to know? How are they going to know that there's a difference? He says, I want to be different. That's what Moses is saying. He said, God, I want to be different. I want to be that which would draw people to Christ. I want to be different. I look at the way that people, I look at people whose hope is in this world and in the things of this world, and I see their desperation. I see their disappointment. I see their disillusionment. I want to be different. I want to put my hope in a God who doesn't lie, in a Christ, a coming Savior is going to come and give me a place to live forever where I will never be disillusioned, disappointed, or despairing. Amen? And Moses says, wherein? He says, God, there's got to be a way. I want there to be a difference. I want to make a difference. I want to seem different. I want to be different. And there are three things in here that Moses asks for. Three things in here that Moses asks for that will make us different. Not just different from the world, but different from what we are or what we used to be. Three things this afternoon. First, he says this. Look, if you will. I got to find my verse here. I just changed pages on myself. Here it is. First of all, notice what he says here in verse number 13 or verse number 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. He said, God, that's what you said to me. And he says this, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight. He said, if that's true, he says, first of all, he says, show me now thy way. Show me now thy way. If you and I are going to be different, if we are going to stand out, if we are going to be a people and individuals who people look at us and say, there's something different, the first thing we need God to do is we need Him to show us His way. Show us His way. In Psalms 143 in verse number 8 through 12, he says, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. He said, I'm putting my soul upon your direction of how I should walk. For I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. We need to learn to flee to God. You're having a problem. You need to learn to go to God and find out His way. Fall upon Him. Call upon Him. That's what you need to learn to do. It's not a shame. It's the right thing to do, is to flee to God, to go unto Him, to cry unto Him. Look over time and time and again in the Bible when people tried to step out and do things without asking God about it first, and they failed miserably. But when they went back and they said, God, we got this all backwards. We should have asked you first. And says, God, all right, now you're going the right way. Now I'll show you the way. We need God to teach us, and we need to say in our hearts, Lord, I want to know thy way. He said in continuing in Psalms 143, he says, teach me, in verse number 10, to do thy will. Why? For thou art my God. How insane is it for us to say God is our God, but we don't do what He says? That's what Jesus said. He said, why call you me Lord, Lord, and knew not the things I say? That's insane. That just doesn't make any sense.
to say, oh, well, yeah, I believe in God. I love God. I love Jesus. I love the Word. But we don't do what He says. No one sees a difference in us, in our life, in any way, shape, or form. Why? Because we're not doing. He said, teach me. And notice it's something you have to learn. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. I want to live a life where I'm walking in uprightness, where I can have a clear conscience. A land of uprightness, where I can have sweet peace, because I know my life is sweet and pleasant in the sight of God. He said, he goes on to say, he says, quicken me. That doesn't mean make me run faster. Quicken me. It means make me alive. You know, I get so tired of people who say they believe in God, but there's no joy in their life. They don't have any shout. They don't have any tears. They don't have no compassion. They don't have a desire to win anybody to Christ. I don't want that kind of thing. I want to be different, Moses said. He said, I want to know your ways. Your ways. I don't want to know the ways of the force. I don't want to know the ways of the ninjas. I want to know the way of God. He said here, he said, for thy name, he said, quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul. Why? For I am thy servant. You know, if you make yourself the servant of God, if you make yourself God's servant, He is going to watch out for everything that concerns you. He's going to watch out for all of it. If you make yourself His servant, not His sometimes caller, not someone who sometimes shows up to do something for God, His servant. How many people did you read in the Old Testament or read in history where they had servants who, well, sometimes they're here and sometimes they do what they're supposed to, sometimes they don't. And you know, they're my servants. That doesn't happen, does it? No, the servant does what he's supposed to do. He's faithful to serve or he's out of there. You think God wants us any kind of different servant? He says, but if you're His servant, He's going to watch over everything that concerns you, that pertains to you, because you're a servant. He says, teach me. He says, I want to know thy way. Why? He said there, first of all, he said, that I may know thee. That I may know thee. There's nothing greater, folks, than knowing God. Not knowing about Him. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about knowing that He's my Savior. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about knowing God. I'm talking about just like you know your closest friend in the world, knowing God that well. That's why some people are never touched from heaven. Because they might be saved, but they don't know God. He says, I want to know His way so that I may know Thee. And then He said, that I may find grace in Thy sight. I want to walk in the ways of God because those are the ways that are going to be blessed. You know, God knows every... I've said it before and I'll say it again. God knows every instant of your life from the day of your birth to the day you leave this planet. He knows everything you're going to need to do His will. And He has it all spread out and prepared to be used upon you. And upon I, if we would just serve Him, if we would just know Him, then we would find that grace, that provision to do His will. You'll notice the Bible does not say God's going to tell you everything that's going to take place in your life and then ask your approval of it. He said that He will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And He said, I want to know. I want to know God's ways because I want to know Him personally. I want to have such a personal, close relationship with God. And he said, but not only that, but I also want to find grace in His sight. I want to be able to utilize everything He has prepared for me so that I can fulfill His will and bring as many people to heaven with me as I can. Is that your goal in your life as a Christian? Is that the primary thought of you when you get up in the day? Am I going to be used to bring people to Christ today? If it's not, we need to do some rethinking of our priorities. To know Him, He said, and that I might find grace in your sight. And then He said, and consider that this nation is thy people. Now you say, what does that mean? What He's saying is that I want to be able to know your ways, not so that I can know you, not so I can find grace in your sight, but also so that I can know that I am with the people of God. That I'm not in the wrong place, in the wrong time. I'm not following the wrong leadership. I'm not following false doctrine. You know, that's what happened. You know, Jim Jones, at one time, he was fairly doctrinally straight. But then something went click. And you know, all those people followed him. You know what his, you know what he did for church discipline? This is stupid. But he didn't have a guy come up, bring him to church discipline if he was doing wrong, and he'd have two guys come up and beat him up. I mean, have a fist fight right there in front of the church. That's insane. They have video of it, videotape of it. Okay, I know because I saw the videotape of it. And the guy would, you know, he'd stand there and people beating him up. Well, I don't want to be a part of something like that. Well, how am I going to stay out of something stupid like that? How am I going to stay away from these people who tell me if I give them $10,000, God's going to give me a free home? How am I going to stay away from those people? Because I'm going to walk close to God. I'm going to know God's ways. I'm going to know Him personally. I'm going to say, that's not the way God said. He's going to do things. And I'm going to be considered. I'm going to be considered to be in with the people of God. That's very important. That you be with the people of God. The second thing he said he wanted to know. Notice this. He said in verse number 14, God says, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us up not hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and the people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. The second thing Moses said, he said, I want to know his way. And he said, and I want to know his presence. I want to know the presence of God. He said, if thy presence go not with me, carry us up not hence. God's presence, first of all, determines my place. God's presence determines my place. What did Moses say? He said, if you're not going to go up there with us, then carry us not hence. If you ain't going to be there, I don't want to be there. People say, well, I can't help going. I have trouble drinking and I can't help going by a bar or going by. Well, wait a minute. Is God's presence there? No. Well, then what are you doing there? It determines my place. The presence of God. It determines for me ahead of time whether or not I even have any business being there. There was a preacher, and I don't remember which one it was now, old-timey preacher, and he was stranded up in a mountain somewhere, and he was in this hotel tavern kind of place or something, and he had asked the bartender, the owner of the place, he asked him if he could take a few minutes to preach to the people. And he told him, no, you can't do that. And so he was sitting there at a table and they were having dancing. You know, they're playing music and they're all dancing and carousing and everything like that. And this woman had come up. You know, they knew he was a preacher. People had made fun of him. So this woman had come up and asked him, oh, come on and dance with me. And at first, you know, he said no, but she kept asking him. And so finally, she asked him if he'd dance with her. And he said, all right. And so he went out in the middle of the dance floor. He took her by the hand and he said, now, I want you to understand, I don't ever do anything except I pray first. And he began to pray. And that girl started to try to pull away from him. And he just held on tighter. And he began to pray and ask God about saving these people. He began to pray. And then the praying, he began to preach. And that woman was a screaming and a shouting because she knew what was going on. God was coming on the scene. Her people that night, they got saved. Because he prayed. Now, he didn't have any choice over being there. But he had the presence of God when he knelt to pray. The presence of God, it determines my place. It determines my place. Don't ever, ever be ashamed to bring up Christ wherever you are. Don't be afraid, because the presence of God is with us. And it determines my place. Amen. And they said this. He said, let me get back here. He said, for herein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight. The second thing about knowing the presence of God, it not just determines my place, but it demonstrates His pleasure. It demonstrates His pleasure. You know, sometimes people don't understand. They wonder, is God pleased with my life? Get in His presence. He will demonstrate His pleasure to you in those times of fellowship. He will make plain. You think God doesn't want you to know what pleases Him and what doesn't? When you and I get in His presence, He'll show us those things that are not pleasing to Him. He'll make it as plain as the nose on your face. Look at He said this in the Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 16. He said, awake, O north wind, and come thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruit. See, this is talking about that fellowship between the beloved and the king, the Solomon, but it's a picture, a type of the relationship that we have with Christ. And we are his garden, we are his husbandry, the Bible tells us. And he wants the Holy Spirit to have free course in our hearts. That's what that wind is. Blow upon the garden. And what happens when it blows upon the garden, man, you can smell. You know, I like those days when you come up, the wind's blowing just right, and you have your stuff growing in the garden, you can smell the plants. They have an individual smell, don't they? A tomato plant smells a certain way. Corn smells, it smells a certain way, doesn't it? I like that because I can smell it. Oh, yeah. That's going to be good. Oh, that's going to taste good. I can smell it. Oh, man, you cook out, I smell people cooking out on the grill, and it drives me crazy. I'm like, man, that smells good. I want some of that. And that's what God wants with us. He wants us to have His presence so that because it shows His pleasure in us. And when the Holy Spirit moves across us and we begin to emit, as the Bible says, that odor, that sweet odor of a right relationship with God, of what it means to know Christ. And people smell it. They see the difference. They say, well, that's good. I'd like some of that. Then you get a chance to lead them to the Lord then. But off all we got growing in our garden are the plants that have been growing up from the seeds of bitterness. Man, who likes that smell? Who likes the smell of all that ragweed and junk? Who likes that? Nobody. See, His presence, it not just determines my place, but it demonstrates His pleasure in us. It demonstrates His pleasure in us. And then thirdly, the third thing it does is it declares that I am His possession. It declares. The Bible says His Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. His presence declares I am in possession. Moses said, so shall we be separated, I and my people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. He said, there's going to be a difference. Because when I'm in the presence of God, it declares that I am His possession. Declaring that I am His possession causes me to say, this is not my life to do with as I please. This is not my body to do with as I please. This is not my tongue. This is not my eyes or my ears to do with as I please. Because I am purchased possession of Christ. You know, I have tools in my garage. And when I'm working on something, now you guys will all be familiar with this, sometimes you need something to pry with, don't you? And you're sitting there, and you can't find the pry bar. But you think about it, that'd be a little too big, really, for what you're trying to do. And, you know, and so you're looking around, and you'll see a screwdriver. And you look at that screwdriver, and there's only... either you're going to use it or not. And what determines whether or not you're going to use it is you're going to look at that screwdriver and say, now is that my good screwdriver? Or is that my prying screwdriver? See, all these guys, they know that. That's what guys do. They look at the tools. Is that my good one or is that my one for doing stuff that I don't normally do that with that, but that's what's going to work right now. All right? See, God looks at all of us as His tools. And He says, this one is the one I use for this. I'm going to use that one for this. You see, we have to get that in our understanding, that we are God's tools to be used as He sees fit. That's why it's not my life. That's why I'm a pastor today. Because it's what God told me, showed me He wanted me to do. It's not that there are 100 million things you can do in this world. I want to know what it is God wants me to do in this world. Same thing when I married my wife. There are all kinds of women in the world. I didn't want just any woman. I wanted the woman God had for me. The one who would be my helpmeet to do the will of God in my life. Now, how did I decide that? Because first I knew the will of God for my life. Are you listening to me, especially you young people? First, I knew God's will for my life. And I set myself to do that and that only. And then I allowed God to bring someone who would complement the fulfillment of the will of God in my life. Someone who God had already set it in their mind that this is the will of God for my life. That's the difference, folks. You don't just go running around the world helter-skelter, willy-nilly, marrying people, whoever you find. Not if you want to do it God's way. I've talked to so many people, and they always took exception with me, saying, oh, well, you know, when I talk about divorce being wrong and stuff like that, they always take exception with me. Because you just can't know everything. And I said, well, let me ask you this question. I said, before you got married, did you ask God about who you were marrying? Well, no. Okay. You didn't do it God's way. You got what that got you. It's that simple. We need the direction of God. I need to know what God wants to use me for. And I need to separate myself to that. And then God will add to me what I need to fulfill His will. See, being in God's presence, it declares that I am His possession. And therefore, it eliminates a lot of stuff, a lot of nonsense out of my life. Because I'm God's possession, not my own. Just makes it that much easier for me to do the will of God. Then the third and last thing. Moses said, I want to know His way. I want to know His presence. But then he said this in chapter 33, look again in verse number 18. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. He said, I want to see God's glory. I want to see. That'll make you different, folks. I'm just going to tell you. It will make you different when you see the glory of God. It will make all the difference in the world, in your life. I want you to look at what he says here. He says, he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said this, I will make all my goodness to pass before thee. See, that's the first thing we have to understand. If we're going to see the glory of God, a person has to understand the goodness of God. Paul said, what know you not, that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. See, if we're going to see the glory of God, the first thing a person has to do, they have to realize they're a sinner and there is no goodness in them, that the only goodness is in God, and they need to come to a place of repentance. I'll cast my goodness, he said, all my goodness to pass before thee. When I look back in my life, when I see all the grace that God has shown, when I see all that he's done, I say, God is good. He is so good. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. And then he says this, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. Wait a minute, didn't Moses know who God was? Well, sure. But he says, I'm going to make all my goodness. First, you're going to see how good I am. And then you're going to see who I am. Jesus wasn't just a good teacher. He wasn't a philosopher. He was God in human flesh. The Son of God, the Savior of the world, the one who died on the cross to take away your sins and mine. That's who he is. He said, I'll proclaim my name. If you want to see the glory of God, you have to understand his goodness. And you have to know who he is. You have to know who he is. There's no game plan with who God is. Not with him. Now, people play games with who God is. But one day he's not going to suffer that anymore. He said, I'll proclaim my name, the name of the Lord before thee. And then he says this, I will be gracious unto whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. What is this? If you want to see the glory of God first, you need to be born again. You must be born again. You must understand that God is good. Not like these goofballs who are always trying to blame God for all the bad things in the world. Well, if God is so good and God loves so much, how come he made that stuff on there so that we could smoke it or we could drink it or we could inject it? How come he made all that? No, no, no. You don't understand. God made the world good. We're the ones who mess it up. He made the world good. Everything he made was good. And he has a good use for everything he's made. But we are the ones who pervert it and twist it. If you're going to see the glory of God, we must understand that we must be born again. We have to understand His goodness, that He is God and has every right to condemn us to the lake of fire for eternity. Every right. And He's right to do so. But then we also have to understand that He will have mercy. He will forgive. He will save. If I'll acknowledge all these things about Him and about myself and ask Him to forgive me and save me, He will. You see, if you want to see the glory of God, first you've got to be saved. But then secondly, He said this. Notice, He said in verse 21, and the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. You know, there is a place. You want to see the glory of God. There's a place by Him. You can go and get close to God. If you want to see His glory, you've got to get close to Him. You've got to get to that place by Him. Notice what else He said. There's a place by me. And He said here, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. How can I see the glory of God? I have to stand upon the rock of Christ. I have to base my understanding and faith on the fact that it's not me, it's Jesus Christ. that allows me to be in the presence of God to see His glory. Standing upon a rock. And He said this, "And it shall come to pass when my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cliff of the rock." Oh, not just standing on the rock, but I'm in the rock. I'm in Christ. And then He says, "And I'll cover you with my hand." Jesus said, "The Father which gave them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." When He puts His hand over me in Christ, I'm secure and I can see the glory of God. I can see it because He's covered me. He's hidden me. He's made me acceptable in His sight. And He said there, "And I'll take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." He said, "I want to see the glory of God. One day, I will see His face." He said, "Brethren, now we are the sons of God, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." I can see the glory of God here. I can see the hand of God in my life. I know the presence of God. I love coming to His house with His people because we meet with the Lord. But one day, I'm not going to be looking at the hinder part. I'm not going to be looking back at what He has done. I'm going to be looking face to face and seeing it right now as it is. I don't know what lies ahead for me. I know not what of good or ill may be reserved for me, of weary days or lonesome ways before His face I see. But I know whom I believe in. And I'm persuaded that He's able. I want to be different. I want to be different. And I want people to know there's a difference. And I want them to want to be different too. Amen? How about you? Let's stand to our feet.